Are you tired of constantly overspending? It's easy to get ahead of yourself, but with Solar Budget, you can save money and spend money. Solar Budget creates a plan each month that sets aside spending money just for you so that you can be responsible and also enjoy your life. See what else Solar Budget can do at solarbudget.org.
Welcome to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh, man. NXT 2.0 podcast on time this week. Because I spoil you kids, you know? I keep you guessing, you know, is Zach going to do it multiple days late? Like, how late is it going to be? Not on time, fool. Listen, I'm excited to be here with you. This was the go-home show for Halloween Havoc, and boy, oh boy, it wasn't a good one. It wasn't a good one at all. Nothing really that fun on the show. But we sure are going to talk about it. The point of a go-home show, generally speaking, is to drive up interest for whatever pay-per-view or special or whatever you're doing. Halloween Havoc live on USA next week. If you were on the fence about watching Halloween Havoc, nothing on this show is particularly going to make you interested in it. It was built very much like a main roster show, and I suppose that's the point now, but boy, does this just kind of illustrate why the main roster does a very, very bad job compared to what NXT used to do for takeovers, but whatever, you know, who cares? That's over with, and it's never coming back. I'm Zach, I'm your host. Very excited, as I said, to be here with you to talk about NXT from this week. Before I get started, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at ZachNXT, at ZachNXT, because I live this every day, unlike some people. Like, Mimi's handle's not Mimi AEW. Matt's not Matt WW. He's wrestling audio. She's Mimi Burris. Like, what's that, you know? That's a lack of dedication, and I have it, you know? Before we get started talking about the show, we usually talk about news and notes, what's going on in WWE. I'm scrolling through headlines. So, WWE, what's streaming this week on Peacock and WWE Network? It's Crown Jewel. It's Crown Jewel. It actually looks like a pretty good card coming up on Crown Jewel. I don't super understand why Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar would be the big thing. Like, I get it, it's a different Roman, a different Brock, and Paul Heyman makes it interesting, but, like, Paul Heyman's not turning on Roman Reigns for Brock Lesnar again, I wouldn't think, and Roman's not losing that title to Brock, so this is, like, what, their fourth, fifth match? It's gotta be by now, so that's something, you know? CBS Sports, Becky Lynch discusses controversial SummerSlam match. I believe it was her talking about the her re-debuting, or returning rather, at SummerSlam, beating Bianca Belair for the women's title very, very quickly. And I think she said something to the effect of, if she goes in there and has just a straight up match with Bianca and beats her, that's no good for Bianca. I don't know. Listen, sometimes this happens, right? Where talent kind of adopts the mindset of the company itself, but the company itself doesn't make any sense. Because while I suppose she is technically correct that it wouldn't have done a lot for Bianca to lose in a regular match. I think it would have done a lot more for Bianca to lose against somebody she was not prepared for in a match where she goes down fighting, as opposed to immediately losing to a bigger star that's returning. I think. You know. I don't know, dude. It clearly didn't help Bianca Belair. Like, she doesn't feel like as big of a deal. And they did the thing they do sometimes. They did it with Seth Rollins, where a returning superstar who everybody just wants to cheer turns heel, and then the fans don't really know what to do with that, and Becky's a better babyface than heel at this point. So I don't think it helped anybody. I think it was the worst version of what you could have done, and like maybe come up with a good idea for Becky returning, not whatever this is. Give me sport reports on WWE. Keith Lee seemingly undergoes yet another name change on Monday Night Raw. I don't care. Bearcat was Bearcat Lee. That's a good tribute name. But if he undergoes another name change, who cares? WWE doesn't take him seriously. He's not 6'5" and 250. He's not ripped. He's not white. He's not going to be Vince's guy, I don't think. He's probably going to go through a couple name changes, I would bet. They're still not going to take him seriously. And Keith Lee's one of the most talented wrestlers, both in the ring and on the microphone, that WWE has had in some time. And he's unique and he's different. And of course they don't want any of that because they didn't come up with those things. Keith Lee came in naturally talented. And for whatever combination of reasons you want to throw out there, not white, not ripped, he's not doing anything. And he was going to be a heel there with that one segment on Raw and then didn't show back up. And, you know, who cares, man? Keith Lee eventually will either they'll do something with him or he'll go to a company that like does do something with him. I'm kind of past the point of like hoping every week that they do something with Keith Lee, and I just know that they won't. And if they do, I'll just be pleasantly surprised. But I mean, it took them, you know, needing a big show for ratings to make Big E the WWE champion, and that was obvious. So like, they're definitely not going to have like Bobby Lashley, Keith Lee, and Big E near that main event scene. That's not what they do. And so, you know, he'll just be around. And that's no reflection on Keith Lee. That's a reflection of the people making the decision. And speaking of people making those decisions, those same people are making decisions on NXT 2.0. I know there were reports that like Vince and Bruce would just be kind of helping to produce and like making some of the decisions. I think this show pretty well shows you that they're making decisions, because this is absolutely their booking style. And by booking style, I do mean that it is bad and doesn't make sense and doesn't make me more interested in the product. So anyway, let's talk about that show. NXT 2.0 starts with a recap of last week. Swerve Scott beating Santos Escobar, but losing to Carmelo Hayes, and Carmelo's not at all Money in the Bank cash in. Why did he cash in on the North American champion and not the NXT champion who had wrestled earlier in that show? I don't know. It doesn't make sense. Nobody ever mentions it once. Also, Swerve was so very upset last week, and then lost that title and was so upset this week that he was not on the show. I get it. Hit Row got drafted to SmackDown. Totally understand. Seems weird that you got screwed out of your North American title and like you don't even have like a video segment mentioning it. Seems like maybe we could have gotten a fun match out of that, but what do I know? It's not like there's, you know, a network thing coming up or not a pay-per-view, but a pay-per-view coming up. There's simply no way for them to settle it. I'm very happy for Carmelo Hayes, legitimately. He is going to be really, really good. Or alternatively, Maybe he won't. I don't know. Who knows with this weird NXT system? I know that they're going to go with Bron Breakker. It's a little bit like when a team in the NFL drafts a quarterback in the first round, and even if that quarterback is not what you thought, they will keep giving that quarterback chances. Bron Breakker is that. They are going to keep giving Bron Breakker chance after chance, and he's doing well so far. I don't know how many chances Carmelo Hayes gets before they decide that he doesn't have it, or he's difficult to work with, or whatever. So if left up to just talent, Carmelo Hayes will be just fine. I think we've seen a lot of examples in WWE where that is not enough, and you have to overcome a lot to be a star. And I feel like that's not how the system should work, but boy, it sure is how it works. So we have 1 week until Halloween Havoc, and in fact, Carmelo Hayes is out first. Now, his friend's name is Trick Williams. Now, shame on you if you didn't know Trick Williams' name, say, last week and the other weeks before that, because I absolutely knew it was Trick Williams. You have no proof that I didn't know that that man's name was Trick Williams. Every time he's been on screen, I have said he's Trick Williams, and you can't prove differently. I certainly never said it's Carmelo Hayes' friend whose name I don't remember. So, since there's no way to prove it, you're just going to have to go with me. So, they say, the announcers say, Carmelo executed his championship opportunity to perfection. So, I'm going to do my best to not keep mentioning this every second, but are we all seriously going to ignore the fact that he ignored the NXT champion on that show and did not cash in? Like, I get it, man. There's like a progression to this, and you wouldn't make Carmelo Hayes the NXT champion right out of the gate, and you're doing a story with that title. I completely get it. But is nobody, like not even Wade Barrett, who could, gonna mention that like the NXT champion was in the opening match last week and Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams could have done exactly what they did to Swerve, but to the NXT champion and then been the NXT like nobody's gonna mention it even one time, dude? The answer to my question I just asked myself is no, not a mention. Trick Williams, whose name I've always known, says that they aren't humble. If you want humble, it's in the dictionary next to hell no. There is no way those two things are next to each other in the dictionary. I almost went to look it up and then realized I don't have a dictionary right in front of me. But I know that there's a few letters between H-E and H-U. I definitely know that. Carmelo Hayes says 4.5 months ago he stepped onto the scene, blew through the competition in the breakout tournament. He waited for the right opportunity to take what was truly his. He says, last week I pulled a Swerve on Swerve himself. When I shoot, I don't miss. That's a cool tagline to have, catchphrase. When I shoot, I don't miss. From this point on, I'm calling the shots. I'm team captain. No, you aren't. The NXT champion's the team captain, which is why you should have gone after the NXT title. All right, I'm going to stop mentioning it. As long as this is around my waist, this is the A championship. Again, I know I just said I was going to let it go. I'm not. It isn't the A championship. You bypass the A championship to literally cash in on the B championship. You can't cash in on the Intercontinental champion, win the Intercontinental championship, and then like tell Roman Reigns the Intercontinental title is the A belt now. You can't do that with the United States title and Big E's WWE title either. That wouldn't make sense. Get it? He's a bad guy. Got it. It's the A title. It's just not true, though. And it's weird that if you wanted to be the A champion, that opportunity was there for you, certainly, last week, and you, for some reason, intentionally bypassed it, and nobody's going to mention it, and if I have to be frustrated, you're going to have to hear about it. Welcome to the NXT podcast. Anyway, they're interrupted by Johnny Gargano. Absolutely give me Johnny Gargano versus Carmelo Hayes, please. Fans chant welcome back at Johnny. I forgot that he hadn't been on the actual show in a long time. Johnny says he's been having a lot of fun recently with bachelor parties and weddings and honeymoons. He says it's all been great, but with Austin on Raw, Indy being married, and Candace at home pregnant, I've lost my way. That's a great line. Do you get it? It's called, the faction was called The Way, but also he lost his way as a wrestler. Do you get it? He says he's trying to figure out what's next. And I think it's staring me right in the face. I think what's next is to go back to what I was put on this planet to do in front of these people in this ring against someone like you. They're face to face now. Johnny says, so, Carmelo, what's that thing you say when Melo shoots he don't miss? First time for everything. Trick says, you shouldn't be worried about that. He says, Indy's been in Carmelo's DMs. And Trick Williams and Johnny laugh for a few seconds in a row about it. Carmelo says, man, that's your daughter. Johnny says, yeah, that's true. That is my daughter. And that's my son-in-law, in waves. And Dexter Lumis is now in the ring behind them. They take them out. They run away. Carmelo managed to leave the A championship lying in the ring. It's so very important. And they do a bit where Carmelo starts walking towards the ring and then kind of pushes Trick like, you go get it. And Trick Williams is not doing that. He gets up close to the ring, but then Dexter's crawled over to the ropes and he gets scared. So Johnny's staring at the title, inviting him into the ring. Him and Dexter give each other a thumbs up. Wade Barrett asks, is it still the A championship if it's not in the hands of Carmelo? So, this is, hey, check this out. This is dumb. Indy and Persia versus Gigi Dolin and JC Jane versus Io Shirai. And what is her name, dude? Zoe Stark. Got it. I got it. You didn't think I'd get it, but I got it. At Halloween Havoc, those three teams are going to have a triple threat tag team match for the NXT Women's Tag Titles. That is a long name for titles that have never meant anything. But what's going to happen tonight is that there's going to be a triple threat match, and the winning team from that triple threat match gets to do the spinning the wheel, make the deal challenge thing. And essentially what that means is that there's going to be a triple threat match tonight, and the winner of that triple threat match doesn't get to pick the stipulation for the match. They get to spin a big wheel that randomly decides what the stipulation will be for that match. Why would you have a match whose entire point is to determine who gets to spin a wheel? It doesn't matter who spins it. It's still random. Why would you care about spinning a wheel, dude? Diamond Mine is in the back, and boy, I honestly want to care. I really do. I don't. I think they said something about the Creed brothers should be getting a tag title shot. They shouldn't. They just got here. Whatever. Creed brothers are here to fight Imperium. This should be fun if it gets more than a minute and a half. And in fact, my next note says this tag match got like 6 minutes before Ikemanjiro and Kushida come down and cause a distraction, distracting one member of the Creed brothers for no good reason. And then Imperium wins with a roll-up. Listen, man, I get it. Part of the point here is that NXT isn't about wrestling anymore. It's about sports entertainment. Those two things are very, very different. And I get it. It's your company. It's your show. You can do whatever you want with it. And what you want to do with it is you want to make it a training ground for the main roster. I got it. That's not even a terrible idea in itself. But the whole reason I loved NXT in the first place is because it was a really, really, really good wrestling show. And these 6 minute matches aren't doing it for me. This match is 6 minutes, and it's longer than some of the matches on this show today. And just really think about that. Think about, since NXT 2.0 started, how many times we've had talking segments or promos in the ring or interviews, and how many times we've had wrestling matches. Go back and compare that to NXT. This is not the same show anymore, and I get it, and it could turn out to be great. It won't, but it could. that's just the whole reason I loved it, and a lot of people loved it, so it's kind of sad. But what? It's fine. It's probably fine. And what do you know? There's more interference by MSK after the match. They're taking out Imperium. They do a cool spot where they're beating up one of the members of Imperium, and the white dude from MSK goes to do a standing moonsault, but he does it at the Imperium guy's feet, which I didn't know what he was doing. But mid-air, as he's flipping, the other guy from MSK pushes him so that he lands a moonsault standing onto the dude. That was cool. And then Imperium's outside the ring, and the camera is set up in such a way that you don't see the other guy from Imperium, or rather the other guy from MSK, jumping over the ropes and taking out both members of Imperium. So that's another Halloween Havoc match that will have MSK defending their tag titles against Imperium. I truly don't know if Halloween Havoc is going to have long matches or if it's going to have a bunch of short ones, but that should be a good match. MSK aren't particularly interesting or good characters, but they are really good wrestlers, and I'll take that. There's a skit about Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner hanging out. They go on like a walking trail in the woods. They take turns running and working out with a big log and doing pull-ups on a tree. Then they're drinking beer by a fire, blah, blah, blah. They're getting along great now. They're going to be a tag team. This is a good use of Kyle O'Reilly. Keep him away from the NXT title scene. He does not fit there. And let him help Von Wagner. That's fine. Whatever. That's sure. Do Rocky workouts in the woods. That's fine. Joe Gacy's in the back, says the mission remains the same. He's blah, blah, blah. He's still using buzzwords. They don't mean anything. WWE. Specifically Vince, probably Bruce, think that a bad guy would say Triggered and Safe Space and Snowflake and this dang soft generation with their buzzwords. So he says a lot of buzzwords. He says, as a coalition, we will be stronger than we could be as individuals. Take my hand. Puts his hand up to, like, I don't know if it was glass. I guess it was glass. And on the other side, it's Harland who puts his hand on the glass, too. All right, man, I don't know. Joe Gacy has touch magic from last week, and now him and Harland are going to be friends. And I don't mean to just be snarky here, but if this were happening in AEW, I would be fine with it because I legitimately have faith in Tony Khan and the decision makers at AEW. It's not. An insane 75-year-old is making these stories, so I know it's not going anywhere. I know it's not going to be particularly good on the other end of it, and I know that that's not Harland or Joe Gacy's fault. So I don't know, man. That happened. They're going to be a team, I guess. There's potential there, but they're not doing the interesting version of this story. They're doing the disjointed version because they think it's funny for a character to say all these buzzwords and be a bad guy and lose all the time, because real men don't have safe spaces. They're emotional walls and they shove stuff down and go back to whatever. So yeah, they're going to be a team now, and I hope they let Harlan grow his hair back out. That's my big take away. Braun Breaker and Ciampa will team tonight versus the Grizzled Young Veterans. Braun says, look, I've seen this before. You hit me by accident, I get pinned. Just watch yourself tonight. Ciampa said, I thought you said you're going to keep me safe until Havoc. I'm just going to follow your lead, champ. Walks away. Io Shirai is making her entrance. Hey, I know I say this every time, but remember when Io was the NXT Women's Champion? And it was really great. That was fun, huh? So, three teams are actually picking a representative for this triple threat match. And again, the winning team gets to spin the wheel. Now, not the winning team gets to pick the stipulation, you know, which would make sense. They get to spin a wheel. If you're one of these teams, why wouldn't you just forfeit this so that there's no chance one of the members of your team gets hurt or worn down a week before a championship match? Because whether Io, Persia, or JC spins that wheel, it doesn't matter. So why would you fight for the opportunity to literally go spin a wheel? Grayson Waller's doing a video from a pool on Twitter. He wants to be the host of Halloween Havoc. Loser LA Knight wants to be the host. I don't know what we're doing with LA Knight. He sure does feel more talented than whatever this is. So they both want to be the host. Apparently, they're the only ones because tonight they're going to have a one-on-one match. And the winner is just the host of Halloween Havoc. Not you get to wrestle on Halloween Havoc. You get to host it. Very cool. This match gets like 8 minutes or something. EO pins Persia and wins. Awesome. They get to spin a wheel. Zoe comes out. EO spins the wheel. The match for the tag titles will in fact be a, I am quoting, scareway, not stairway, scareway, because it's Halloween to hell ladder match. The losing teams legitimately look mad that they don't get to spin a wheel. So it's a triple threat ladder match. That will be fun. Maybe. I don't know. Do we get more than 5 minutes? Who knows? Tune in next week to find out on USA. There's a vignette for a new character named Solo Sikoa. S-O-L-O-S-I-K-O-A. Basically like a Samoan kind of street fighter who's bringing his talents to NXT. So first, this is a bad vignette. You can tell because it doesn't make me interested to see this character. And also wasn't a very good promo despite being in a vignette, which, as you know, can be edited or redone or redubbed. And it either was and that's bad, or it just wasn't and that's bad too. So this was bad, but not the point. That's one of the Usos, dude. He's just not using the name. He sounds like an Uso. He has the Samoan tattoo. This is one of the... I don't know if this is a cousin or another Uso brother. This Solo Sikoa is an Uso. And I don't know why we're just pretending that this dude that sounds and looks like an Uso just has short hair and doesn't have the... Very carefully going to say this. Workout regimen of the Usos. Yet, I guess we're just going to pretend he's... that's fine, whatever. So he debuts next week. Ika Manjiro walks in on Kushida in the restroom to ask him to tag with him because Vince and Bruce think that's very funny. I knew Vince and Bruce were making more decisions than we thought when I saw bathroom humor because restroom humor is very, very funny to Vince and whatever's funny to Vince would be funny to Bruce, obviously. And also, see, this is funny because neither of them speak English as their first language. And boy, isn't that funny. So they want to tag. Kushida's excited to tag, but Kushida says if they're going to tag, he needs a jacket like Jiro's. Jiro says, no, you are Kushida. And he brought his suitcase into the restroom. That's funny. Suitcases don't belong in the restroom. Jiro has the old Back to the Future vest Kushida used to wear. He puts the sunglasses on, he taps his wrist, and the lights change in the restroom. So that's interesting. Vignette for Mandy Rose and Raquel Gonzalez's match. Please stop reminding me every time that Mandy Rose is attractive. Like, I don't need to see her, like, backsided legs every time you mention her. I get it. You want me to think she's attractive. Got it. Mandy's whole point here was that she is prettier than Raquel and will look better as the NXT Women's Champion. Cool, dude. Grayson Waller is finishing his entrance. LA Knight is already in the ring. This match went like 3 minutes, dude. LA Knight wins. In 3 minutes, what are we doing? So, LA Knight wins. Now, mind you, he did not win to get a title match or a high-profile match or anything like that. Just to host the show and not perform on it. Very cool. LA Knight was the right choice. He's going to be a fun host. This is where they announce that Solo Sikoa is going to debut next week. That's a weird name. And I don't know where you're going to debut him at Halloween Havoc, but whatever, sure. Main event time. Main event gets 9 minutes, baby. Now this is work right here. Braun wins. He does that press slam thing he does and wins. Ciampa gets off the apron. He's holding the title. He looks back over his shoulder at Braun, who's in the ring. Braun yells at him to hold on to that title tight. Ciampa gets in the ring, faces off with Braun as we go off the air. They cut the show before Ciampa finishes his sentence. Ciampa says, at Halloween Havoc, and the show stops. That's very cool. That's very indicative of what we watched here and what we will probably see on Halloween Havoc. Now listen, understand that I want NXT 2.0 to be good. I'm not one of those fans that, because it's going to be different, I want it to fail. I want NXT to be as good or better than it was when I loved it. It's not. Vince and Bruce are making a lot of decisions. I truly don't believe they're capable of making interesting wrestling decisions, especially in 2021 for a modern audience. I think they've proven that every week. They need a Stone Cold and a Rock and a, you know, people like that, but they won't allow anybody to get to that level and don't have the booking capabilities to do so. And so NXT 2.0 has been really, really bad. And I think it's going to continue to be. Now, I hope next week's Halloween Havoc will be good. We get Ciampa, Braun Breaker, MSK, Imperium, Raquel, and Mandy. That triple threat tag title match, Carmelo Hayes and Johnny Gargano will be fantastic. There are good matches on here if they get time. But again, this is no longer a wrestling show, so I don't even know how much to expect from that. But here's hoping that Halloween Havoc will be better. What do you think is going to be the best match on Halloween Havoc? I think Carmelo Hayes, Johnny Gargano, pretty clearly. Do you think Braun's winning that NXT title? Because I don't think so, but I also kind of think so. And I don't know what to do with that feeling. Let me know over on Twitter, at ZachNXT, at ZachNXT. In the meantime, that's it for NXT, so that's it for me. I have been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic, as always, and thank you for listening.